Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the program. Good evening, America. Alex McFarland. We've got a great show. Later on in the show, we'll talk with Greg DeRoche on the state of parents' rights and the family. And in just a moment, we'll visit with Carl Kirby, a longtime friend and colleague, and we do summer camps with Carl and Reasons for Hope. And then there's another attribute of his resume that we'll bring out. But first, I want to begin by saying a couple of things. One, I'm very honored to be sitting in for attorney, pastor, and broadcaster Abe Hamilton III. And also, I'm going to read from Psalm 67 and bring out a little bit of God's Word, because in this turbulent world with so much going on, good things, challenging things, uncertain things, it's always good to remember that unshakable foundation of our life, which is God and the Lord Jesus. And I hope you have a relationship with Christ. But Psalm 67, I love this, folks. It says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations of the earth. Now, I was looking at Psalm 67. God be merciful to us. God bless us. God make your face to shine upon us. And that's something we should all desire. In verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth. Now, in the Psalms, there are a number of references to God's revelation, God's word, God's testimonies, statutes, precepts, law. And one of the references to Scripture is God's way. We are wise to build our life on God's path. But then it says in verse 2 of Psalm 67, that thy saving health may be known among the nations. And do you know what? I looked up that word, thy saving health, in English. It's Yeshua. Isn't that something? The Hebrew word for Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah. Now, thy Yeshua. Who is God's Yeshua? Jesus, the Son of God. Isn't that something? We want God's Son, the Savior, the risen Lord, the King, the Alpha, the Omega, Jesus, to be known among the world. And I hope you know him, and I hope you're helping make him known. Well, a very special colleague and friend that helps people everywhere to know about Jesus, his name is Carl Kirby. He's been a longtime friend and colleague. We've collaborated. We've been on the podium together, been on the airwaves together. And Carl, I wanted to have him on for a lot of reasons, but one, in relation to the tragic plane crash at Reagan Airport 1 week ago. I was looking at the footage there as that American Eagle flight collided with a Black Hawk helicopter. Very tragic. 67 souls died, as you know. And I've been on that runway 36 times at least, I'm sure. And then not days after that, we've barely got that processed, and then the medevac plane went down in Philadelphia. Well, our friend Carl Kirby was an air traffic controller in Chicago, and I just wanted to get some of his opinions. Carl, thanks for being with us. You're a joy with whom to partner, but thanks for being with us tonight on the American Family Radio Network.
Good with you, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. I want to talk about, aircraft safety, but before we do, tell people about Reasons for Hope, the website, and then our summer camps coming up. We'll circle back to that, but give us a brief little snapshot of Reasons for Hope.
You bet, yeah. If folks would like to get more information, you can find us at R-F-O-R-H. R-4-H stands for Reasons for Hope. and we have .com, .net, .org, all those. But I'd also tell you to get our app, because that is absolutely the best way to get information about us, because we have hours of free content on there. And all you have to do is whatever your platform is, whatever your iOS or Android, just go to your app store and search for R, F-O-R-H, Reasons for Hope, and download it. I'm telling you, it's simply hours of free video content. New devotional that we've started every day. You get sent a devotional, a reminder to, or a little notice to go watch a devotional and read a devotional if you'd like that. So we've got a lot of free tools on there that we want to put in people's hands so that they can feel excited about sharing their faith.
Yeah. Well, another thing that means so much to us is in the summer times, we partner with Reasons for Hope to do our Biblical Worldview Apologetic Summer Camps for teenagers,
absolutely,
middle schoolers,
absolutely,
high schoolers. The website is equipretreat.org. And we talk with kids about the gospel, what it means to know Jesus, but how to defend the Christian faith. And it's just really cool that everywhere we go, whether it be the beautiful countryside of Montana or the Hudson River Valley in upstate New Jersey, right near the New York state line, or down in South Carolina or Temple, Georgia. This upcoming summer, we're going to be near Richmond, Camp Piankatank, there outside of Richmond. But kids are so hungry for truth. They love it. Mm. And Carl, we just want people everywhere to sign up. Go to equipretreat.org and look at the camp near you. And I say it this way, invest a week that will count for a lifetime. We love to be with these youth in the Worldview camps, don't we, Carl?
Oh, you better believe that. And the youth love it. That's the thing that's so crazy. I wish parents would come and see it for themselves, because we have so many times where the younger generation, they come in and they're blown out of the water, because we'll have, we do the fun stuff, but we have teaching. And it's application and it's addressing the issues that they're being confronted with. And so, yeah, we'll be in Cedar Falls, Iowa, as well as Elgin, Illinois. So we're covering the states, man. And next year, we're even going to some new places, but I don't want to talk about that. We got to knock this year out first.
That's true. And, you know, one last thing, and then I do want to talk about the airline situations. But, Carl, last summer when we were doing one of our camps in South Carolina, it was a rainy day. And we couldn't go outside and do all the hiking and outdoor stuff. And so Dave Glander and I, and you were there, and the staff of the camps, we were saying, okay, you know, it'll be some free time. You can play ping pong, you know, whatever you want to do. Well, all these kids came to Dave and me, and they were like, could we have more teaching sessions? And, you know, we do open Q&A. You can ask anything. But whether it's, you know, Jesus, the Bible, how do I get along with my siblings? How do I find out God's will for my life? And then what about America, being a citizen, being salt and light? It is so gratifying that these teenagers, they love truth. They really do. Mm-hmm. And so, folks, consider sponsoring youth, sending your youth groups to camp. And we have fun. Now, we talk about apologetics, but look, I do the zip line and I drop down in the lake. It's fun stuff. Equipretreat.org. Anyway, but Carl Kirby, while I've got you, I wanted to get your opinion. I know that in your career, you were an air traffic controller. Were you at O'Hare in Chicago?
Yeah. I did it for over 24 years. The last 8.5 years of my career, I was at O'Hare.
Well, I've been in and out of O'Hare and Chicago Midway countless times. Busy. How stressful is the job of an air traffic controller, Carl?
You know, it's crazy, because I tell people that if you know how to do the job, you're wired to do it. It's not an intellect thing, obviously, because I'm the son of a professional wrestler, so the IQ is gone. There's none of that. It's really more of a personality trait. It really is more of a personality trait. If you're like a type A, can make a decision type individual, you'll do pretty good at air traffic control. So if you're not very good, or if you're a person that's like super analytical and double guesses everything that you're going to do, you're not going to enjoy it. You're going to have a very tough time because you got to be able to make a decision and then make it work and just go with it. And if it's a wrong decision, you learn from that. Don't make that decision in the future and keep on going. I tell folks, to me, the most stressful job in the world has to be like dental hygienist. I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd have to put me in a jail to make me do that job because I just couldn't do it. But air traffic control, I don't want to take anything away from it. It is a vitally important job. It is a job that requires unique skills, but it's exciting for people that are like me that couldn't do the same thing every day, because you do the same thing every day, but it's different every day because of all the different variables that are attached to it. So I loved it. I was blessed to be able to do it.
So I got to ask you, you've been in that tower. I didn't know it was that long, 24 years. You know what it is. What help us process, American Eagle Flight 5342 coming into Reagan. Well, first of all, Carl, how in the world was there a Black Hawk helicopter in the airspace, an active runway of planes landing? What in the world was that helicopter doing there?
Well, I am not familiar with Washington and Reagan, so I don't know their flight patterns and that type of special.
It's a tight little space.
Yeah, it is. I know this, that everything is, because there's so much restricted airspace around there, everybody is funneled in and out. I mean, boom, in one channel. That's pretty much it. So you got to get everybody in a single sequence. Now, to me, and it's funny, I talked with a buddy of mine yesterday who retired from air traffic control here in Cincinnati, and he and I were pretty much on the same plate. What seems to have happened, and again, we're not going to know until the NTSB releases everything, so this is pure speculation on my part, and I don't want to in any way impugn anybody because not sure. But what it looks that's pretty solid is that the helicopter was at the wrong altitude. As it flies along that river, it's supposed to be under 200 feet, right? 200 feet, right? At 200 feet and under. And then at that point is where the airliner will be passing over at over 300 feet. And so that gives you the separation. But it doesn't make any sense that helicopter was that high. They, from everything that I can tell, is that they were at fault on that. And the challenge with it is that the controller had issued, and air traffic, when you have two aircraft that you're working and it's visual, it's clear and they can see each other, you can tell the other aircraft about the other aircraft and say, okay, traffic, 11 o'clock, 3 miles, 4,000, whatever type aircraft. And if they see them, you tell that aircraft to maintain visual separation. So as a controller, I am then passing on the responsibility to that pilot to miss that other aircraft. And that's what this controller had done with that helicopter, because the helicopter could right there and let the plane pass and all that sort of a thing. It could turn to go around. And so the controller had issued the traffic. He reported them inside. He told them to maintain visual separation. So that helicopter was supposed to have missed that aircraft. That was put on his plate, that responsibility. But what I think happened is I think the helicopter actually saw a different aircraft and did not realize where the other one was. That's kind of my speculation. I think almost all commercial airlines, and then, by the way, that's a big problem in air traffic. You can say things perfectly correct, but it's easy for miscommunication to happen because there's so many moving parts on it. What I was concerned about is the American airline, almost every commercial aircraft now has to have something called TCAS, and that's where an alarm goes off if an aircraft is getting too close to it. And they should have received a traffic alert that something, from what I was able to read, that possibly may have happened because it seems as if the American Airlines started to pull up just before the impact. So they may have had the TCAS go off and they started to pull up, but it was too late. And talking with my friend yesterday, he said, Carl, once you get within a certain mileage and like a 5 mile circle, and I don't know how far out they were on this one, what happens is that many times the TCAS will alert on a lot of things. And so,
hey, Carl, hang on. Exactly. We got a break. Can you hang on, Carl? Can you stay with us?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, hang tight. We've got to take a brief break. Alex McFarland, Carl Kirby here of Reasons for Hope. And we're talking about the plane crash and more. So stay tuned. The Hamilton Corner on the American Family Radio Network is back after this. Also, Craig LaRoche talking about the rights of parents, the welfare of children, much more on this edition of the program. Stay tuned, please.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Our words are powerful, much more so than we as human beings typically understand. A saying that used to be popular years ago stated, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." This is possibly one of the biggest lies you will ever hear. Words can hurt to an extreme degree, and people use them to hurt others every single day. Yet for us as believers, followers of Christ, our goal is to use our words every day to bless others and point them to Christ. Our words should bless others, promote healing in people's lives, grace and encouragement in the lives of those around us. We should habitually lift others up by our words. It is, in fact, relatively easy to bless others and encourage people with our words if we wisely and very deliberately seek to do so.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is My Take. January always brings the thought of newness, and most Americans pass resolutions to make the new year better than the past. But if we're honest with ourselves, those resolutions rarely are kept. Listen to the wisdom of James in chapter 4 of his epistle. "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will do this or that, go into this or that city, spend a year and carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, your boasting is in vain. It is arrogant." Why don't we take a hint from the New Testament where Matthew writes, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." I'm Rick Scarborough, and that's My Take.
AFA Stream is your source for inspirational, informational, educational, and entertainment video content from American Family Association. You'll find documentaries like Culture Warrior, Don Wildman, and The Battle for Decency.
Television in those days would be considered extremely mild as to what's available today.
You can access educational curriculum like Body of Evidence.
And there the Lord says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them."
You'll find titles like Life is a Civil Right from the AFA Cultural Institute.
If you're Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece and you were tricked, my goodness, how many more were tricked?
Much of the content is free to everyone. Great commission partners can see even more. And content is being added, so your options are increasing. Visit stream.afa.net and see what you like. AFA Stream, streaming video from American Family Association.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, so honored to be with you on the American Family Radio Network. Before the break, the voice you were hearing is Carl Kirby, longtime friend and colleague. He's the director of Reasons for Hope, which is one of the nation's preeminent apologetics ministries, but also interesting, a background as an air traffic controller. And, you know, Carl, still it's a week away, but we're just grieving the tragedy of the American Airlines flight that crashed into the Black Hawk helicopter, and then also the medevac plane that crashed in Philadelphia. And now I hear that there are 4 fatalities and 24 people critically injured. As a former air traffic controller at O'Hare in Chicago, my goodness, you were ringside to one of the busiest airports anywhere. Resume, if you would, Carl, your thought about just how this might have happened. And I guess the question on everybody's mind, Carl, myself included, because I fly a couple of times a week, with DEI in the control tower, and hopefully that's getting weeded out. I mean, how safe is commercial flying these days? But, Carl, resume your thought, if you would.
Absolutely safe. So I genuinely believe that the air traffic controllers are still some of the best in the world. especially since I left. They got good ones in there to replace me, right? But these guys are very, very good. They truly are. DEI is interesting. When I was in there, there was even some of that going on. Like, now, let's be honest, I've been out of it for a very long time now. But there was still some of that going on in there. And it was very difficult to get hired unless you fit certain parameters, even while I was in there. And so I think it's gotten even worse, especially under the last couple of, you know, administrations that we've had. And so has it played a role? It's so hard if you're not on the inside. I can read these reports where I see a gentleman has now filed a lawsuit who passed at the highest level, got his degree, air traffic control, submitted his paperwork, rejected, even though student, and the only thing that could be a part of it, from what I read, right? I mean, how do you know if it's completely true, was the fact that he didn't fit the parameters that they wanted. So when you're short as you are, and they are short, they still are short, even after the strike so many, many years ago, they're still short. It is going to cause a problem. Even at O'Hare, when I worked there, we were always short. We were authorized 99 controllers, and I think when I left, we had 79. So guys were working, and they're working. You can get tired. It can wear you out. But I still think it is absolutely the safest system in the world.
Wow. Well, that's a strong endorsement. Are there any things that you would advise people to do about, like, times of day or days of the week that flying is maybe a little less burdensome?
Not anymore, man. I think every flight, and I fly, like, I flew, oh my gosh, I've flown over. It doesn't matter what day of the week I'm flying, it's jammed. I mean, they've reduced the number of flights, you know, and so that means if you get the same amount of people flying but less flights, well, they're full. And almost every flight that I'm on is full anymore. Me, I'm on the first flight out every morning because if you notice, you can go do a search on any airport on time, you know, what other on-time flights. First flight out in the morning is always the number one on-time flight. And usually I've got a connection, so I've got to make sure that I'm on the first flight out. But the later in the day that you go, the more it's not on time. So to me, I'm not finding any day that is slower. I mean, Sundays will probably be, you know, a slower day, Saturday, Sunday. But it doesn't work when you're doing like what we're doing. We need to leave, and we're working on the weekends and typically flying back on Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I fly early myself as well. But, and I enjoy just getting there early and feeling like I've got to jump on the day. But, Carl, we're going to have to pull away. But I want to thank you for serving our country the way you do. And we love all that you're doing with Reasons for Hope. And I'm so thrilled about the camps we're doing again this summer for hundreds and hundreds of young people. And even for college age. Tell us about the one last question, then we're going to change gears here, but at Judson University.
Yeah, Judson University in Elgin, Illinois is July 20 to 25, and this is an impact curriculum or impact conference, and we are having a special session at this one where anybody that's interested in doing presentations, future communicators, We have a time set aside every evening where that individual, they get up, they go, they give their presentation, and then we, all of us, the speakers that are there, we're going to mentor them. We're going to give them feedback and try and help them. We'll have all the teaching. We'll have all the fun stuff. We'll have the worship. We'll have all that. But this is really one more mentorship time in this one. So July 2025, you can find it on the equipretreat.org website and join us.
Wonderful. Carl Kirby, I appreciate you so much, and thanks for the time today. We're going to change gears here. Alex McFarland sitting in for Abe Hamilton, and I want to bring up Craig DeRoche, who is the leader of the FamilyPolicyAlliance.com. And by the way, my travel schedule, I've got a lot going on. I'll be in Wichita, Kansas later this month. Before we bring Craig up, let me remind people that I will be at the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina, July and August, two sessions. If you've never been to The Cove, The website is thecove.org. It's just phenomenal. The food, the accommodations. In July, July 18th through 20, I'll be at the Cove teaching the book of Job this year. Why do the righteous suffer? Why is there pain and suffering in the world? And then I'll be there the first week of August with J. Warner Wallace. And we'll be doing a session on apologetics and defending the faith. And whether I'm on the road, our summer youth camps, or at the Cove, I would love to see you this summer. But, you know, with the change of presidential administrations, frankly, I'm thrilled that President Trump is standing for the things that he's doing. And in his inauguration speech, he talked about two genders, male and female. Well, to help us weigh in on the cultural battles and just keeping our focus on truth, and maybe hope on the horizon, Craig DeRoche of the FamilyPolicyAlliance.com. And we've got an issue that they're championing, which is help, not harm, related to the welfare of children. We'll weigh in on this and other issues. But Craig, thanks for holding, and thank you for making time to be with us this evening on the American Family Radio Network.
Well, Alex, it's a privilege to be with you, and I loved sitting through that last segment and learning as all your other guests did. It's great to be with you here tonight.
Well, thanks very much. Yeah, Carl Kirby was a former air traffic controller at Chicago O'Hare, and he was giving us some insights there. But I appreciate you. You've been published by The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, Fox, Christianity Today. You were in an Academy Award-nominated documentary. I mean, you've had an amazing, amazing, accomplished journey already. Bring us up to speed on how the Lord Jesus is leading your life and what things are top of mind with the Family Policy Alliance.
Well, thank you for that, Alex. And yes, thank you for letting me share a little bit about what Jesus has been doing in my life. I'm folks, when he says I've done a lot of things, I'm like the Forrest Gump character in the room. So I'm not important person in the room, but I've been in a lot of important rooms in my life. And that's what God has used me. And I had an old boss who would tell me that God wastes nothing. And I've learned that over and over again in my life. So all those times when I was on a city council in a local government, and then I was in a state legislature, and I was Speaker of the House, but at the same time, I was blowing up my life in addiction. I'm one of those people as well. And I was raised by a father who's an alcoholic. He got sober the year that I moved out of the house to go to college. But, you know, one of those stories, I got sober, cleaned up my own life, and I work in family policy now, and I try to use my, as we say in recovery meetings, we try to use our experience, strength, and hope to say it in a more crass way. I've made so many mistakes in my life. I try to, you're not going to live long enough to make as many as I am, Alex, and other people. So we try to share those, and we try to be helpful where we can. But God has used me since I left the legislature, since I met Jesus, and really committed my life to his work and how he could use me. I worked for Chuck Colson for a decade in criminal justice reform. He hired me in 2011 before he went home to glory. And then now I'm the CEO of the Family Policy Alliance in Colorado Springs and working on more of these upstream family policy issues. And this one, boy, is this a special season of crazy in America that we have to work on issues like this, isn't it, Alex?
Well, it is. And Craig, let me say this. I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and then for the last 25 years have been in Christian broadcasting, Christian publishing, organizing events. And here's where I want to go with this. Okay, biblical worldview, apologetics, that's important. I've given my adult life to those things, writing, researching, working on things like the Truth Project. I worked with Chuck Colson, and so a lot of the names you mentioned, they definitely resonate with me. But here's what I've come to believe. Spiritually, as a pastor, as a counselor, as an educator, everything rises or falls on the state of the family. And really, as much as I'm in academia and teaching and a lot of things, here's where my wife and I are at after 35 years. Save the family and you will save the nation. Everything rises or falls on the state of the family. Am I right, Craig?
Amen, brother. You're getting me excited. I thought I was being a guest on your show. You're getting me excited. I couldn't agree with you more because I saw the impact. And I love my family. I love the family I was raised with. I love my crazy extended family. I love the family that I'm raising and stuff like that. But I would love to talk to you about that. And if you need to convince your audience first that you're telling the truth, I'll give them a couple examples right now.
Yeah, please. Because what I'm wanting to say with everybody out here listening is, look, folks, men, let me say, the best thing you can ever do for your children is to love their mother. And
amen.
I say, lose at anything else but win with your family. Am I right, Craig? That's what will save our nation is the Christian family.
That's right. That's right. Because, listen, folks, we can't, outside of Christians that understand these things. I'm going to say a couple things to remind us of this, Alex. And I know that there's going to be plenty of people in your audience that I'm going to catch them off guard. They're going to be on their heels tonight or today, whenever they're listening to this, they're going to say, thank you for reminding me of that. People that are not Christian in this country will call, they call our solutions our problems, right? They say that we have an abortion problem. We have an abortion problem. We have a suicide problem. We have an addiction problem. We have a divorce problem in America. We have a school shooting problem, right? And wait a second. I drank alcohol to solve my problems. I didn't have a drinking problem. A school shooting isn't a gun problem. The kid that is pursuing violence thinks that that is going to improve his situation somehow. It's going to solve his problem. A murderer is trying to solve their problem by killing somebody else, right? Somebody getting a divorce, committing suicide, right? We have it backwards as a culture, and that is why it's so hard for us to penetrate and get through to these government officials. What we're trying to get when we try to explain to them what they're getting wrong is they don't understand simple things. I told you about my recovery. I'm in recovery for addiction to alcohol. I bet a lot of Christians on this call would say, well, the first thing you should do if you're addicted to alcohol is go to a doctor because you have a disease, right? Well, it's not true. Like, how come every time I went back to drinking alcohol, I was sober? And I say that to people that are new to recovery, and they say, I never thought about it that way. Right, because this world is trying to pull you away from where the answers actually are. They're trying to call your solutions your problems. They're trying to tell you that you have power over these things, that you can control them, and that you have a medical issue, not a spiritual problem, that you have an anger issue, not a spiritual problem, that you're have this righteousness about you rather than something where you should fear the Lord with it. And metaphysically, we get ourselves all bunched up in a knot. That's why I was getting excited when you said this. And where does it all come from? Where do we learn that stuff? Right. And I joke with people. I say, well, if addiction is not a disease, if it's not genetic, and I'm sure some of those things are right, because certain families have certain, I don't like hot food. Some people would like hot food and things. But like I said, no one has ever been born needing alcohol or an opiate. That wants it back. Where did you learn how to solve your problems with alcohol or opiates? Right. And for most people, that starts in the family. And I joke with them when they say that, and they say, well, I'll take one that everybody assumes is genetic, obesity. And I say, how come you see that white, American family, and they're all 150 pounds overweight, and they have that South Korean son or daughter with them, and they're 100 pounds overweight with the exact same outfit on and everything? It's like, because they are solving their problems the same way. They don't have an eating problem. They're eating to solve their problem. And so I'm just saying, I'm glad you're saying that, because when it comes into this stuff, and that's why the evil one has spent so much of his time trying to break down the family in America with these radical LGBTQ, get rid of the marital bond. That doesn't mean anything. Get rid of the the bond between mother and father and their child with abortion, that doesn't mean anything. And
hey, Craig, and, forgive me. We've got to take a break. Yeah. Craig, hang with it. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about help, not harm. But I'm going to give you a pyramid of steps to influence your children's life in a wonderful way. We'll talk more with Craig DeRoach after this. Stay tuned. We've got a brief break. We're back.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like
it
is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Technocracy. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. At Donald Trump's inauguration were eight tech titans, the CEOs of the largest and most influential technology companies in the world, including Apple, Google, Meta, and Tesla. Why were they there? Of course, they know a political U-turn has been made, and they want to curry favor with the new administration. But they also want to have influence about how advanced tech, like artificial intelligence, massive data collection, and even transhumanism, should drive our future. That's technocracy. Beware. Man rule is Satan's oldest lie, that you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Hear our most recent program with Alex Newman and Soren Kern at thechristianworldview.org, and then join us this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Jesus' final words to his disciples were to go into all the world and teach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. For more than 27 years, Tomorrow Clubs International has faithfully answered that call by partnering with local churches in some of the world's poorest nations. Here's a report from a team leader.
When children learn to follow Jesus, they become disciple makers, influencing their families and friends. The gospel then overflows into the community, bringing repentance, reconciliation, church growth, and even reduction in crime and substance abuse.
More than 500,000 children have learned to follow Jesus through Tomorrow Clubs. Kids also learn practical life skills such as cooking, woodworking, and the English language, preparing them for a brighter future. To learn more about the life-changing work of Tomorrow Clubs International, go to tomorrowclubs.org. That's tomorrowclubs.org. All gifts are tax deductible.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, Bible teacher, author, and radio host Dr. Ray Pritchard shares how to engage the culture with biblical truth in a way that draws them to Christ.
If you can speak out with tenacious, winsome courage, you can actually win people to Christ, and you can attract people to your church who otherwise would just drive by and never give you the time of day.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. We're talking with Craig DeRoche. He's the president and CEO of the Family Policy Alliance. Hey, Craig, I know on your website you've got a page of allies, Family Policy Alliance, you know, organizations around the country that, you know, they stand for the values that we stand for of, you know, life and parents' rights and just God and country. Tell us about the Policy Alliance and, you know, the respective, you know, affinity organizations that you've got listed there. People all across the country can interface with these people and make a positive difference for our nation. But tell us about all this.
Absolutely. So if you're at home and you're listening to this, you're driving in your car, you're wondering, how come Christians don't have what the left has? How come nobody's thought up having a group that can aggregate and organize the Christian movement and then broader than the Christian movement, just like the Satanists will try to snag everybody they can. They'll even go into these local churches and stuff, you know, to attract the social conservatives. So we serve Christians, but since America is primarily a Christian country, a lot of the Jews and Islamic and other religions and just socially conservative families will work with our organizations in the state and nationally. And the difference of our group called Family Policy Alliance compared to nearly everybody else that you're going to hear of, and I'm not bad-mouthing them. I love all the organizations we work with. But our leadership comes, as Alex was talking about, the answer is in your family. Actually, the answer is with Jesus Christ and you. Amen. Directly. And then the next phase out from that for governance is your family. Then it's community. And that's where most of the governance in America should come from. You shouldn't need much from your state. You shouldn't need much from the federal government. So we're actually structured locally. So we have 40 state organizations that work with 50,000 local churches, and that's where we are. We try to be in the communities and work up toward Washington, D.C., instead of in Washington, D.C., working toward your kitchen table. So that's a little bit of background about us. And if I could, really quick, Alex, just plug the size of us, because most people, they'll Google Family Policy Alliance, and they'll say, well, you're not that big. You're not as big as these other national groups, but it's because we are spread out across these 40 organizations, but between us, we actually have over $60 million a year in revenue and 400 full-time employees, and that doesn't count what we spend in politics. That's just in our policy work. So it's actually a really, God has raised up a substantial pro-family, social conservative Christian movement that works hand in glove with groups like the American Family Radio, the American Family Association, and others, in what we call the social conservative movement in America.
Wow. Powerful, powerful. And there is such power in collaboration and like-minded individuals linking arms together. But I want to ask you about help, not harm, because,
yeah.
My goodness, the rise of this incredibly powerful LGBTQ trans lobby, for those of us that care about the welfare of young people, and that's hopefully all of us. I mean, it's been just heartbreaking to see, and frankly shocking to see, how the transgender ideology has entrenched itself in our culture and even our legislation. So, Craig, help, not harm. It's very exciting. Tell us about this initiative.
Yeah, so it means exactly what it says. We need to be helping, not harming people. In this case, adolescents, people have not reached the age of 18 that think that they were created in the wrong body. They think, I was born a man, which means I have the male chromosomes, male genitalia, the whole deal, right? People through all ages and time have had this mental illness called gender dysphoria, and where they believe they're in the wrong gender, or that they are the opposite gender, just like there's a lot of other mental illnesses where people believe things that are simply not true about themselves or about others. But over the last 30 years, with the rise of this LGBTQ movement, it's empowered some really nefarious, bad-acting people to go under the cover of helping people and really hurting them. And so what we have across the country today is medical professionals, hospitals, too, institutions, maiming our military, for that matter, our VA, are maiming and sterilizing a growing number of impressionable children under the radical and false claim that adults can change a child's sex through a series of irreversible medical interventions. It's stunning, folks, that if you think about what medicine is, what medical care is, And every situation is meant to improve your situation. Medically necessary means it's medically necessary. If it's cosmetic, it's still supposed to make you look better. But these surgeries take healthy people and give them a chronic disease that requires drugs and treatment for the rest of their life. It doesn't decrease the risks of suicide. It increases them greatly. And as I pointed out in the first segment of when you and I were talking, it's not even their problem in the first place that the kid has. They're looking for a solution to their problem. They're unaware of the word. They're unaware of the relief that they can get from Jesus. And they're doing what I did and what everybody else said. I pursued alcohol and drugs and stuff. Other people pursue sex. Other people gambling, pornography, you name it. This world is full of fallen objects to pursue. But what made this crazy, Alex, was that our government and one political party in particular, I'm not going to make it a partisan issue because the solution has been very bipartisan, but mostly from one political party over the last 30 years, we're actually trying to convince people that they could change their sex, and that's really come to a head in this election, as your listeners know, and that President Trump's taking decisive action now.
Well, how concerned should people be about this?
Well, they should be concerned because this is the thing, Alex, is most people, including my own wife, she thought that maybe conservatives, that Christians were making something up. Maybe this happened isolated somewhere, Alex. Maybe this happened in California in some weird hospital and they're running an experiment. Or maybe there was a kid that was so far gone mentally that they needed this kind of thing. And people rationalize that stuff in their head. And they're shocked to hear that under the Biden administration, that Dr. Haim, Ethem Haim, a devout Jew, medical person, was told to be involved with one of these things because he was on staff. And he said, there's zero chance that I will ever do that. It breaks my oath. It hurts somebody. It doesn't help them. And he filed a whistleblower a complaint in the state of Texas. The Biden administration's response was to show up at his house with armed people, armed law enforcement officers, and a search warrant, go after him, go after the nurse that also filed the whistleblower campaign. And the craziest thing, Alex, is they were saying all these hospitals and these medical places that they weren't actually doing these things to these minors, manipulating sexual genitalia, stuff, the kind of things we were afraid that some of these Islamic countries were going to bring over to our country. They're doing it. They're denying it. And then President Trump issued his executive order banning this on January 28th. And then, you know, that's only been a couple of days, and pop, 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 these hospitals all over America are admitting that they were in this business, that they are mutilating children, that they are doing it without the consent of parents, that they are doing it in these super legal situations. It just stunning. This is going to be looked back at, Alex, as one of the darkest things. Like we look back at the internment camps of Japanese people in World War II, or when we gave black people syphilis. Our CIA did, and they called it the Tuskegee experiments to see how long they would take to go insane. This is going to be one of these things that people look back at our country as a huge dark stain. And it's just, it's a miracle. It's wonderful that we have President Trump in there, and he's taken this decisive action within days of returning the presidency.
And let me just say this too. You know, Craig, I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and my grad degree, in addition to worldview and apologetics, was in developmental psych. And I remember 30 years ago, we were studying among children and pre-adolescents and adolescents. We were just this psychological phenomenon called suggestibility. Now, I remember researching this 30 years ago because there was talk about children's testimony being admissible in court cases. Here's my point. Sometimes, very tragically, let's say a child witnesses a crime, but attorneys and therapists have to be very careful how they interact with children. And folks, you'll see where I'm going with this in just a second, because of what is called suggestibility. And suggestibility among, say, 3 to 5 and 6 year olds, it's possible that a child will give the answer that they think you want to hear. But really, from about 8 through 11 through 16 year old, suggestibility becomes much higher because is it the desire to fit in? During pre-adolescence and adolescence, there's, you know, being unsure of oneself, and you say what you think the adult in the room wants to hear. Now, here's my point. In 30-plus years of not only doing youth events, youth ministry, counseling families, Craig, I've never had a youth ever, and we've, over 30-plus years, no kidding, interacted with a couple of 100,000 teenagers. I've never had a teenager ever say, oh my goodness, I was born in the wrong body. I have to get medical transformation or transition. Now, kids, they're angry. I hate my parents. I want more freedom. You know, I have counseled with families where a teenager was struggling with some sort of deviant sexual desire. But in terms of, you know, I want to be a different gender and this has to happen now, never in over 200,000 youth. Here's my point. I believe much of the sudden, you know, it's almost chic to want to identify as something other than your birth gender. It's largely due to the cultural imposing of this, leftist educators, leftist legislators, they're whether they realize it or not, they're playing on the suggestibility of children and teens, not any legitimate, real psychological or physiological need. It's just something that's come about, and the left that doesn't recognize God, they don't recognize moral absolutes, they don't recognize the adult's moral responsibility to advocate for the welfare of the children, this is just one more relativistic secular trend, and the sad thing is the victims are children that we adults are supposed to be protecting.
Amen, Alex. And it's so hard, too, and thank you for saying that. And if I could add a couple words to what you just said, because I think that that's what Christians feel like their tongues are tied in America right now. But let me help you guys shout this thing, what Alex just said. You don't have to be quiet on this. We have a juvenile justice system in America. Say that to people. Why is that? Because it's a completely different situation when a 14-year-old punches somebody in the face at a McDonald's than a 35-year-old. It's a completely right. different situation because the kid's brain hasn't developed yet, and everybody knows that. It's a consensus. In America, we don't have the 14-year-olds. We can't get them a sex partner to make them feel more comfortable, and we can't buy alcohol for their junior high school or high school friends as a parent, right? We can't get them anabolic steroids to help them make the varsity football team in high school. These are all equally stupid ideas, right?
Because they're minors.
Parents, we can't help them cheat on the ACT or SAT to get into USC, right? You know, because right. what we're doing is we're actually stealing from our kids. We're stealing their childhood because we're sexualizing it. And they shouldn't be sexualized until they're 18 years old. There's absolutely zero reason for it. We're stealing their identity. We're stealing from them the solution and the pathway toward Christ. And we're falling for a really old trick, Alex. So I'm so glad that you said it that way on the show. And that's what we need to do, just like President Trump yeah. did. Just say the answer is no. This is ridiculous. Yeah. It's invented. And push back.
Craig, we're almost out of time. Craig DeRoche of the Family Policy Alliance.com. Check out their website. Hey, I'll be back Tuesday and Wednesday on the Hamilton Corner. We've got some great content. Folks, tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network. Most of all, tell everybody about Jesus. May God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.